and she running, we use our legs for stability. So sure, they're going to be there to stabilize as we move our, you know, from right to left, but we're not using them for propulsion. It's just for stability. And once you get nice and tall, and then you kind of have a little bit of this forward lean, which, you know, is like this idea, this is your body, you're just falling forward, then gravity pulls you and all you need to do is pick up your feet.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. Whenever trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where our conversations might go. So there aren't too many topics that are off limits for us. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Trail Talk. If you ever go out and run with me on the trail or spend any time talking with me about running, at some point, I am probably going to talk to you about chi running. Chi running, a friend of mine told me about chi running very, very early into my my time of getting back into running again. I hadn't been running trails for very long, and a friend of mine, he actually mispronounced it and called it chai running, but it is chi running based on the principles of Tai Chi. And he told me all about how this was supposed to help reduce injuries. And I got the book, looked up videos online, looked at the principles, and adopted it and worked on it on my own. And it has worked wonders for me. I have been amazed by learning how to run with this form has enabled me to run long distances without injury. And so my guest today is Lisa Pozzoni. She is a master chi running instructor. I ran into her through Instagram and looked her up. We had a couple of conversations, and I said, ask her to come and talk about chi running on Trail Talk because it has made a big difference in my life. So we had a good conversation about chi running. So here is my conversation with Lisa Pozzoni. Welcome, Lisa, to the show, to Trail Talk. Now,
hi.
We'll say again for the people who are listening, and to remind that when trail runners head out onto the trail, there's kind of a comment that it's like Las Vegas, that what's said on the trail stays on the trail. But in this case, and also there's not many topics that are off limits when you're out on the trail running with someone. But in this case, we're also sharing our conversation with Facebook, and so whoever is here can listen in, and so we'll ask that if you see anything that should be kept kind of confidential, that it stays on Trail Talk and isn't spread across the internet. But that is the thing that I love about trail running, is that our conversations tend to be very free flowing. And so welcome Lisa, and really have looked forward to having you here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
And I am also looking at my other monitor and looking for this live to show up, and it's not there yet. The internet has been running slow tonight, I think. Live comments, if you're watching this live, if you want to make comments, ask questions, or to contribute, to have things that you'd like answers to, leave a comment during the live broadcast, and I will try to relay it on. Lisa, you and I met through Instagram. I think you left a comment on one of my something that I'd written about chi running. And so we had a conversation after that, so I reached out to you, and we talked about chi running and a lot of things. So that was kind of our link. And so since I think for my benefit as well as those listening, I'd like to ask, how did you get started as a runner? And tell us a little bit about your journey of whether you know where you are at as far as your running story.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on, Eric. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to just say I'm 49 years old. I'm going to be 50 next year. I am not one of these people who started running in, elementary school or doing track and being in cross country. I actually started running in about 2008, so I was in my mid to late 30s. And I actually swore I would never be a runner, right? So I'm a fitness trainer is how I started in the fitness world. My mom's used to be a runner, but I never really got into running. And I've always liked endurance events. So I used to do the breast cancer 3 day, which was 20 miles of walking 3 days in a row. So I had done that. And then of course, in your journey, you're like, well, where else could this go? So then I started dabbling into running. And at that time, I had learned about the Pose Method, and I was hearing about Qi running at the same time. And I had dabbled in a little bit of both of them. And then one of my clients gave me the Qi running book. And that's when everything changed for me. So I read the book, and as a personal trainer, the body mechanics all made a lot of sense to me. And then I decided, I'm very much a hands-on type of learner. So reading a book or watching a DVD was good, but I really wanted to attend a workshop. So I attended a workshop, and again, it all made sense to me. And at that point, the guy who was teaching the class, Mark Wallace, he said, I'm the only instructor in Arizona, and he lived in Tucson, and he was a guy. So I thought, well, maybe I should add this to my personal training business. And in the meantime, as far as running goes, I mean, I think I remember saying that a half marathon would be where I would stop. You do a 5K, then you do a 10K. I swore I would never get on trails because I'm a klutz. So trail running just looked like something that would never really happen. And then, I heard people running at night on trails. Like, this is crazy stuff, right? Well, long story short now. Because of Qi running, and I will give Qi running pretty much most of the credit because I've been running, let's see, I started running ultras in I think 2013, and I have not been injured ever. I mean, I run a lot of miles, and my personal longest distance, again, I swear I would never run a half marathon, is 100K. So I've done 62 miles. I have a 100 miler on the plan because I'm going to be 50 next year, so well, why not? And that's kind of how my journey really started into running. I absolutely love it, and I think Qi running just lends itself to allowing you to keep running without hurting yourself. And I just love to help people be able to run for the rest of their lives. It's such a great, and I just love it. And I love trail running, and I love night trail running is my absolute favorite right now too. Right, so
So you initially learned you started you were in your you said mid 30s and then you started
yeah,
running,
there's
so
a
you've been
lag
yeah there is a
on
lag.
the internet, it seems.
Yeah, this is going to be a little bit difficult because as I talk it's going to take a few seconds before Lisa hears me, so I apologize for that because the internet gods are not in our favor tonight. Okay, we're seeing. You were saying that you read the book about Qi running about 6 months into your kind of time as a distance when you were starting to get into distance running. So, did you learn what you learned from the book? Were you applying that immediately and seeing a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I honestly think as soon as I read the book, I just looked up the workshop because I knew that I just needed to get more because, again, I'm very much a visual and I have to feel it. So the book was very helpful for me, but I knew that I had to take a class. So as soon as I took the class, that's when I even decided to become an instructor. I was like, this is amazing stuff. So my distance running probably actually didn't start until 2 or 3 years after that. I'm sorry, I don't think I heard the question. So I didn't get into distance running probably till about 20. My first marathon was in 2012, and my 50K was after that. So it'd probably been a couple of years before I started using it for distance running.
Okay. So you ran a 50K and then you said you ran a 50 mile. And then you have a 100 mile on your schedule.
I
Okay.
do.
Which 100 mile are you looking at?
Well, it's actually funny that you asked me that question because a few people have said to me when I've told them this, they said, "Well, I thought you would do something a little more epic." So, although I believe, right? I know, I believe this is epic. And I think the reason people say this to me is because in the past I have said, and it's true, I do enjoy trails much more than those looped timed events. Right. But here in Arizona, we have it's called Across the Years, and it's a 6-day race, 24-hour increments of time. And it's a mile course at it's at a ballpark. And people come from all over the world to do this race. And I've decided that I'm going to do 100 miles in 48 hours. I'm not going to try to do it in 24 hours. Okay. It's my first one. I'm a very social creature. Mm-hmm. And so the plus about this type of event is that I could be going around and I could be having people come in and help me out and pace me. But I actually think going around in circles is harder than going out on a trail. So
you say it's at a ballpark. So you're like running around the outside edge of a baseball field?
Well, they actually create the course along it. So it's Camelback Ranch. And the other reason why I picked this race is because I run, Ara Vipa Running is our major local running company here that does, and you may have heard of them. They do, Javelina 100. They do some really famous races. And Across the Years is actually one that people come from all over the world to do. And the Running University, which is my company, I've volunteered, I want to say the last 4 or 5 years, over New Year's. So during the New Year's shift, I'm there at midnight and we're, you know, doing the New Year's. And so this year I decided I actually want to be there running it as I run into my year of becoming 50.
Okay. That's a good, that's a good one. So you say it's a 6-day event?
It's a 6-day event, so you could do up to 6 days. And funny because, again, these I've been to these, and I've done a 50K at Across the Years. I think I've done 40 miles is the longest I've done on a, you know, looped type of event. And it's a whole different experience. But if you haven't tried it, I just had to tell everybody out there just to really investigate. I know there's a lot of companies that do these type of timed events, but it's a whole different ball game, but yeah.
So it goes continuously. So like you can choose 24 or 48 hours to run, or whatever 6 days is. Was 6 days times 20? I'm not that good at math. So
yeah, I can't do math either.
So so how far do people run? I mean, if they do people run for the full 6 days and do like 300 miles?
Yeah, you know what's funny that you say that? That's what I love about this. And because most of my personal niche with my with the Running University is really back of the pack runners, you know, I'm like, let's just enjoy this and have a good time. That type of event lends itself to any type of runner, right? So you're going to see people on the course that are looping and they're running and they're very strategic about it because they're trying to win, whether it's a 24 hour, the 48. I mean, they have, distances for all of those. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have people maybe like me, who's going to be like, you know, I'm going to go run around for 5 hours and then I'm going to go ahead and hang out in a tent. Or, you know, I know people that go back home for 3 or 4 hours and then they come back. So it's basically you pay for the time. My biggest pet peeve about the race, though, as a running coach, is that a lot of people just kind of go with this whole, oh, I can keep going, and they keep pushing through pain, and maybe they don't train for this type of event because it doesn't seem like it's as big of a deal as doing a 100-miler out on the trail. And I see a lot of people get injured, which, you know, that always... so hard for me, but but it's just a different type of race. And when you don't have any pressure on time, you just do whatever you want for 24 hours. If you do 24 hours, I mean, you could do 10 miles, you could do 100 and some miles, you know, it just depends on what you want as a runner. And I like that option.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some people in my local running club that have run timed events like that. And they put on one over the winter solstice. And there's a loop on our trail that's a quarter mile loop. And it's called Schaus. It's S House, which an old bathroom. The trail goes through an old bathroom. So, but we pronounce it Schaus. And so, they called it Schaustus. So it was from sun up to sunrise, sun up to sundown on the winter solstice. And there was all kinds of shenanigans going on. They made beer staffs. They would
when they finished a beer, they would tape it to the bottom. And so it just kept growing. So they had staffs that were taller than their heads by the end of the day. So.
Oh, I like that. That's a new idea right there. Yeah. That's new.
one guy was dressed in a wizard outfit with his beer staff, and it was just a whole lot of craziness. We had food and of course, you know, it was a quarter mile loop. You just kind of ran and they kept a log of had their name, put your name on the wall, and you logged how many loops you did. And then there were crystals given out to the winners. So,
how cool! Yeah,
it was a fun event.
Yeah, but, definitely very different. They definitely are. We have a couple other ones here that actually same. It's the same idea, but quarter of a mile as well. So they're at Ardini Manor, which is a little historic area here, and kind of same idea. Like there's a DJ. That's what I always tell people. Like when I did that one, it's like, yeah, stop and do a shot of tequila in the middle of it. I mean, who cares, right? Yeah. Just gonna have fun.
But yeah, that's something that I definitely would like to try sometime. So you said you like doing trail races rather than loop courses. So are you the trail races that you do point to point or instead of a loop, or what is your preferred style?
Yeah, typically I would definitely say my favorite would be a point to point, which is why I picked Black Canyon here again, and that's a Western States qualifier. But it's a beautiful trail, and it's a point-to-point. And, yeah, I prefer a point-to-point one. And, you know, there are some courses that I've done that are looped, but they're really big loops. So, you know, you might do a 20-mile loop and then mm-hmm. a 12-mile loop or you know. So I don't mind looping, but I definitely prefer to be out on the trail. And one of the reasons, especially when you're exploring new trails, is just to be able to be out there and see new things you haven't seen. So,
yeah. Well, my experience that – on a 25-mile loop, was working on my last loop, and I told my pacer, I said, I've never seen this before. but it was the fact that I had been running for for 24 hours plus, and so it was like, yeah, I was like, I said, we're lost, and she had to convince me, no, we're not lost. I know where we're at.
That's funny. But that's why you have a pacer, though, right?
Yes, that's why you have a pacer. That's why you have a pacer. Yeah. to tell you the things that are real and the things that are not.
Exactly. But,
so talk to me a little bit about chi running. The thing that I would have to say, I learned my chi running technique from watching videos and reading the book. And so I do fairly well at learning, you know, reading about something and then going and, you know, I learned how to paddle a canoe that way. Wow. It took me like 10 minutes in the canoe and I was handling it like an expert because I'd read all about the strokes and everything. So that, for me, it wasn't too hard to feel like I was, but there's a lot with the chi running that. It's a lot harder than paddling a canoe. There's a lot of moving parts, and so it's something that for me, doing it the way I did it, I don't know, and I've never had anybody judge my form, but I feel like I can feel it when it's not flowing, and I can feel it when it is, and so, you know, I don't know that I would say I'm an expert, but I've found something that works for me. So talk about what chi running can do and a little bit about the concept behind what chi running is all about.
Sure. So the chi running, the word chi is life force energy, right? And so the idea that running has to be a power sport, I think, is where we kind of break the mold. Like this idea of being able to run as efficiently as possible. And the concept is to... Basically, I say we teach people how to run without using their legs, which, of course, is crazy talk, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what people all say, that you're using your legs. And the idea is really the more you use your legs, which if we think about all common injuries for runners, they're usually running related. They're usually leg related, you know, mm-hmm. knees and ankles and all of that, where the idea, the concept with chi running is learning how to move your body in space as efficiently as possible. And so gravity is one way, is by using gravity, right? So taking advantage of gravity. And the chi running concepts come from martial arts. They come from Tai Chi. Danny Dreyer and Catherine Dreyer, especially, both of them do Tai Chi. But this is where he took a lot of the concepts from his Tai Chi movement. And the idea that the more you can get relaxed and you have to be aligned, which is that idea of alignment and relaxation, a very big Tai Chi principle. And if you flow with the forces instead of fighting the forces. So typically, you know, I do video analysis a lot in my workshops and in private sessions, and most people run very upright because people might even hear you need to be in good posture. So they get very tall and upright, but they're upright. And the only way to move from being upright is to, you have to still use your legs to propel yourself forward. So in Qi running, we use our legs for stability. So sure, they're going to be there to stabilize as we move our, you know, from right to left, but we're not using them for propulsion. It's just for stability. And once you get nice and tall, and then you kind of have a little bit of this forward lean, which, you know, is like this idea, this is your body, you're just falling forward, then gravity pulls you and all you need to do is pick up your feet. And I say that all, that's all you need to do, almost as a joke, because we always say that it's a practice. Like Qi, I've been teaching since 2010, and I still have aha moments. Danny's 70 and he still has aha moments. So that to me is one of the things I love the most about it, is that, you know, I might be good and get my arm swing down, then I might focus on something else, but it's really about getting a relationship with your mind and your body together. And of course, I geek out on this stuff, but you know, generally speaking, that's the idea, is moving in a way where you're using less energy, you're not using your legs so much, which if you take your legs out of the game, you're gonna be way less likely to get injured, and you're also gonna be more efficient. And so when you're more efficient, you conserve that energy, which is better recovery time. If you end up not expending so much energy, then you can go faster. So it helps people get faster. And it also helps people go longer, which is the route that I went.
Well, and for me, that was my goal, was not speed. It was distance. Because I went from not running. I was 60 years old when I started running, and running trails. And my goal was to run a 50-mile trail race the following year. And so most experienced runners say, no, you can't do that. That's too fast. That's too much too soon. You can't do it. But I chose a race that was also a 100-mile race attached to it. So I had the time to complete the race was the same amount the 100-milers had. And I only had half the distance. I did a respectable time. I did 16 hours, but nice. That was my goal, was to go the distance. And there were people that were on the 50-mile trail race that even walked. And was grateful to the Lawrence Trailhawks for putting on that kind of a race. And they're very, very accommodating, very accepting of whatever level that you wanted to run. And so, but that was my goal with Qi running, was to go the distance, not so much for speed. And
And that's great. You know, hearing you say that's one of the first things I always tell some of my runners too, is look at the races. And a lot of the running companies want you to be successful. So same thing here, you know, if there's a 100-miler, pick the 50, or do a 50K if there's a 50-miler, so you know you have more time and you don't have the pressure, right? Because I Qi walk too. I tell people, I'm obviously not running that whole time. I don't run that whole time. I'm Qi walking when I'm not running, you know? So I use the principles both in my walking and my running. And again, I speed is never my goal. Like, I could care less. I just want to enjoy it and have fun. And I want to be able to finish feeling good and strong. But, you know, I think sometimes Qi running has, I don't want to say a reputation in the sense that, especially, like, I worry, like, people look at me, I'm like a back of the pack runner, slower. We have so many instructors that, like, I mean, we have Alan Miller's in Florida, and he's like 70 some years old, and he does New York every year, and he does it in some, I want to say like in 4 hours. I don't know. But Qi running can definitely help you with speed. It's just by choice. I don't like to. That's not me. I'm not competitive. I just like to enjoy it. So,
Well, my competition was to see if I had, you know, was able to do it. And that's my whole challenge, was, you know, can I do this distance? And
kudos to you for researching and looking into something that helped you do this, right? Like, I think you said you used Qi running for this.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
A friend of mine talked to me about Qi running shortly after I started running. And it was that's probably what saved me, because I was a heel striker. I was, you know, that was my whole form was up, like what you said, upright and stretch out my legs as far as I could make them go and land hard on my heel. And, you know, that's what I was doing before my friend introduced me to Qi running. And it is, I mean, that is, it takes a lot of concentration to to change from what I was doing, because I was, you know, I've been doing it all my life. I mean, that's the way I walked. That's the way I ran all my life. And I had run back in my late, when I was right at 30 years old, and did a marathon. And but yeah, I had knee injuries, I had leg shin splints, just all kinds of things, and have not had any of that since working with doing the Qi running. So
awesome. Yeah, and I do, I say that I when I teach classes and I tell people that the longer you've been running, the harder it is, because you have all your neurological pathways are programmed, right? So however you've been running, and it takes a lot more mental effort. So that's why I always tell people, if you're a beginner, no matter what your age, so much easier, because you don't have a lot of bad habits that you need to break, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, and again, kudos to you. I think just the fact knowing that something needs to change, and you know, a lot of people just think you just put one foot in front of the other, like what could go wrong? Like people run, like why would you need to take a class to learn how to run? Well, 70% of people get injured when they run. Yeah. So there's something there.
Or walking. I mean, the same thing of, you know, with Qi walking. I mean, walking is something that almost everyone does, and we've been doing it since we were like 2 years old. And so it's one of those things that we don't think we need to change, because it seems to be just a natural move. It seems to be natural, but,
yeah, exactly. But you know, so, most of people sit at their desk all day, right? For whatever. So I always say it's what we do when we're not running that ruins our running, right? It's all the bad posture stuff that we do when you're sitting all day, or you're wearing your heels all day to work or whatever. Those are the things that are, you know, that are affecting how you run, because your body mechanics all change, you know?
So. Yeah. And that's, so a question I have that I have, there are other running instructors out there that teach a method similar to Qi running. They don't, they've said, you know, they kind of give you a thumbnail sketch of saying, stand tall, lean forward from your ankles and let gravity pull you, you know, lean forward from your ankles and then just step. What is the difference between the form coaches, you know, that are telling you about running form and Qi running?
You know, well, again, I think one of the biggest things that I really love about Qi running is the idea that it's a practice. So, you know, not only, like, I make it a point to work with Danny Dreyer, the founder, at least once a year, because he has aha moments as he continues to run. So, I mean, you can get down to little things too, like, where is my chin when I'm running? What are my fingers doing? I mean, you can get down to some level of minutia. So sure, I could just tell somebody, like, get like this, lean from your ankles. But at the same time, you know, that just might be, that might help you out. But then how do you move your arms? And how does everything all come together in order to make it something that you can do consistently? And the other thing is you have to practice. So you can go out and you know, run that way. But if you don't always continue to practice it and learn, you know, again, that could be a very generic explanation. Like I said that, you know, get tall, lean forward. But there's just a lot of different elements. I mean, I just taught a virtual class, and I had somebody in my virtual class who's taken my class at least twice, the 4-hour workshop, and has taken at least one private with me and took a virtual class, and she learned more stuff. So it's really more of, I think it's more of just really, you know, how can I just be more and more efficient? So when I'm out running, I'm like, what else could I do right now that's going to make the next hour better while I'm out on the trail? Or, you know, so it's just continuous practice and learning a lot more than just, you know, a couple of things.
So I guess talk to me then about the mindset that's required, because I mean, we've kind of mentioned that a little bit. And since it is, you said, a practice, how long does it take to kind of get a bit of proficiency? And then what is the approach to continue to kind of hone your form and hone your practice?
Awesome. Yeah. So, you know, first of all, when we talk about the whole idea, like the big thing in running, you know, and I think it is changing now, or at least maybe that just seems to be the circles that I'm in, is that, you know, it's just this idea of like powering through. And we always talk about mind over body, like, oh, if your knee hurts, just suck it up and go through it. No, your knee's telling you something. Don't do it. You've got to figure out what, you know, what that root cause is. So in Qi running, we talk a lot about this idea of mind with body. You know, we live right now in a, now things have calmed down a little bit because a lot of this COVID stuff, but we live in a society where our minds are constantly working and we don't even know what it feels like to be in our body. So for you to even say that you can tell a difference, you know how to body sense, like you can tell when you're not Qi running because you know what it felt like when you weren't. I mean, I could talk to people who don't even feel what's happening in their body. So part of the process is really just getting this relationship. And we say we're teaching people to be their own detectives. So for example, I do a video, I tell somebody they're heel striking, they're overstriding, you know, I teach them how to do it. And when they ask me, well, how long is it going to take me to learn this? Well, the more you practice, the quicker it'll happen, right? Because you have to change how you're moving, and the practice is while you're running. So we have about 40 form focuses is what we call them, form focuses. And, you know, we would say maybe you're out on a 30-minute run. I'm just going to take an example. And you would pick a couple of things. And so when you'd go out, this is like the running and meditation. So you might pick, you know, landing midfoot. So in my mind, I used to be a heel striker. I want to make sure I actually used to be a toe runner. I was on my toes all the time, you know. And so if I'm learning the technique, if I don't think about anything, I'm going to go out and run the way that I used to run, because I have to actually put the mental effort to talk to my body and tell it what to do. So this is where your mind is talking to your body. And then, you know, maybe you'll be out on the run and you're focusing, you know, midfoot. You just focus on your midfoot. And then if you get distracted, you know, this is what meditation is. As soon as you get distracted, what, you know, what am I making for dinner tonight? Blah, blah, blah. Then you're probably back to heel striking, right? Until you can change your neurological pathways for that to be more of a normal movement for you. Like I just did a video analysis on myself the other day. And I always like to do that because, again, I mean, I've been teaching since 2010. I'm a master instructor, but there's always something I could be doing, you know, better and differently. And I have to be able to see it so that my mind can process it. And then when I'm out on the trail, again, it's like a moving meditation where you're really just, you're being present, right? You're very, you have to be present to be listening to your body. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is to learn how to be very in the moment while you're running. I mean, my yoga teacher said this the other day and it stuck with me, how like every second is different. Like, think about that. You're doing 100 mile. Every second of that 100 miler is different. That's crazy. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? So when you, I guess, what came up for me is when you're okay, you've got some proficiency and you've got, you know, however, you know, working through those 40 things. And so that it starts to feel, not so much necessarily feeling natural, but you've kind of got a little bit of proficiency in that. What kind of discipline practice is there going beyond the initial trying to learn things kind of one thing, one at a time?
You know, I just think it's continuously that way. I mean, in all honesty, that's how I still do it. Maybe I'm not really understanding what your question is, but even though I might have it in my body, like for example, right now we have Qi School, right? So Danny has this whole thing about it's Qi School. So you can go on their website and they have videos and there's a couple of different ways that you can get the information, but there's audios. So there's 104 lessons. I have all 104 lessons downloaded into my iPod. And I went out on Sunday. I just did a 10K. I tell my people not to say just in front of any mileage because that's not cool. So I did a 10K and I really wanted it to be a form run again. So I put my Qi School on. I just hit shuffle and I can listen to the same lesson multiple times. And because that day I'm in a different space or I'm in a different place or whatever, again, different second, I might have a whole different aha moment. So it's still just practicing. Now, do I practice on my form on every single run? I mean, I almost want to say yes. Do I practice it that intently? No. Like, I'm not out on every run absolutely focused, but I have a lot of it in my body. But I will continue to focus on specific things that I just want to keep honing in and getting better at.
I found as I was working my way through it kind of on this do-it-yourself, you know, after having read the book, is that I would I would find, and I had, it was a conscious thing that I did, but about every 5 minutes or so, I'd bring myself back, go, okay, wait a minute, let's go, and kind of went through my body of, you know, kind of the things that I was, that I was aware of, you know, the position of my head, my shoulders, my arms, you know, tucking my pelvis, you know, feeling my feet land on the ground. And so I would bring myself into that. It was like you said, a running meditation. So I had a sense of almost my entire body of the energy flow that was coming through me and around me, and how I was moving. And then it would slip, you know, then my mind would go off and I'd be thinking about, you know, all of the things that your mind always thinks of, you know, tends to think about. And so it was, I've not been able to get it like for a half an hour, just constantly in the moment, but there's always kind of this flow back and forth. Is that kind of a normal progression?
Yes. Yeah. I would definitely say that. Cause exactly like me too, I could sit there and even while I'm listening to Danny with the Chi School, you know, like I've got the audio and I'm listening to him and I'm like all focused. And all of a sudden, again, I might see a dog or something. And before mm-hmm. you know it, you know, but yeah. And we do, there's an app too, right? There's a Chi running app. So we do provide a lot of tools for people to kind of, you know, people will come and do a workshop and then how can they take this and progress with it? So Chi School is one of the options, but there's also an app. And one of the things in the app is a body scan, which is a very common in meditation practice, right? So same kind of thing where you would just go through and you start doing a body scan, you know, and you start, usually I start from the, you know, lifting from the crown of my head, because more than likely if I'm tired, I'm probably now not lifting from the crown of my head again. And so I kind of just go through a quick scan. And I normally don't tell people who I just started to do that, because there's so many moving, you know, there's so many different mm-hmm. things to yeah. think about. Which, you know, we usually tell people when you first learn Chi running, really, it's really more of the mental effort than the physical effort. That's the hard part, is you have to mentally focus on it because your body is going to go back to do whatever it was doing before you learn something new. You have to apply it.
Well, it was interesting you talk about body scan, because that that was the meditation technique that I had, that I was using before I started running. You know, I had a lot of things going on in my life, and in 2017, I really transformed, you know, my weight and a lot of limiting beliefs that I had. So I was doing the mindset work before, and then I'd lost enough weight, and I thought, you know, I bet I could run again. And so I brought the mindset work into the running, and it meshed very, very well with Chi running. But that body awareness, there's a lot to be said for being connected with your body.
Absolutely. I mean, Danny has actually told us as instructors, he says that to us, that if you just help people get into their bodies, you've come a long way. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Like nowadays, everybody's so, you know, everywhere.
Well, and our society elevates the intellect. And so the whole, you know, we're almost trained from, you know, from schooling and from just everything that's going on to live in our head. And so it's all the mental processes, and you know, that's just part of the, you know, the elevation of science and logic, and you know, that there's a that separates us, I think, from our bodies. And so mm-hmm. getting in touch with the feedback from your body, it's amazing. And the meditation technique I learned was from Dr. Joe Dispenza, and and so he very much talked about the feedback, the interrelationship between the chemical changes in your body. When you have a thought, it creates a chemical response in your body, which then reinforces your thoughts, and it's just this cycle, and the neurological network wires to keep thinking the same thoughts and to keep. You know, and we live on habits, and so we become this you know, the thoughts that we think are not new. We're thinking the same thought. It's interesting because people, you know, the things that have been happening in the world, and everyone says it's like Groundhog Day. I had the same thing over and over and over, but for most of us, our mind and bodies do that Groundhog Day thing anyway. It's just that we've got this other little piece of our intellect that's thinking Netflix and they're in this kind of this cycle that feels new, but it's not. Right. And we're still disconnected.
Right. Yeah. And it's so, like everything's on autopilot. Like you're on this autopilot mode, right? You just kind of keep going. And I mean, I say this all the time. Like I specifically take restorative yoga, not just to help me stretch and all of that, but I'm body sensing that whole time. I try to keep my eyes closed and I'm trying to work on the skill of body sensing and being in my body. And I think both of us today posted about, that whole thing about the heart and the gut, is mm-hmm. that when, I've done that and I've gotten so much better at listening to my gut because I know that it's right. I mean, I made a decision last year, didn't listen to my gut. And I still beating myself up. I got to let it go. But I know better, right? My brain, my ego, my brain was telling me something different. And, your gut really always knows. So the more you can, so to me, like I never really got into meditating until after Qi Running. So Qi Running taught me about meditation because of this mindfulness piece. And then I started getting into meditating and, I'm Italian, which you did pronounce my name correctly. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Pizzoni, so that was good. You did good. But, I'm going to be stereotypically the women in my life as Italian women are very high, strong, type A, intense. And I always thought that's how I was going to be too, until I started meditating. I realized, I can actually choose. I can, mm-hmm. if I slow down enough, And I'm not responding quickly and I can be more self-aware. So this whole process of Qi running changed my life in so many ways. My running has changed. My whole life has changed. And then professionally, of course, because it's what I do for a living and I love it. I mean, I help people cross finish lines they never thought possible. I can't, for me to be able to see women who never thought that they, and I say women because that's mainly who I train, mm-hmm. Finish a 50K that they never thought they would do. I mean, that's amazing. Like, so anyway.
Yeah. So if for people who want to, get in touch with you, what's the best, tell a little bit about your coaching and what you have to offer.
Sure. Thank you. So the Running University is my company. And so the way that Qi Running is like, Qi Running, there's instructors that we got all certified to train and coach people. So we all have our own businesses. So the Running University is my company and you can find me on Instagram as the Running University. You can find me on Facebook. Also, my website is therunninguniversity.com. I do have a Twitter page. I really just need to get off of Twitter because I'm not really using it, right? It's there, and I don't know, maybe stuff posts from Google once in a while, but I need to. But, basically what I do mainly is I teach people running technique. So most of it would have to be local where I teach people in person. I either do four-hour workshops or I will do private sessions. Online, I use Final Surge. And so Final Surge I had a client in Mexico City who I met while I was training with Danny Akrapalu in Lenox, which is where he does like a 5-day retreat typically. Actually, I was supposed to be there. I was going to leave tomorrow. Danny was going to have a 5-day retreat at Akrapalu next week, and I was going to be there anyway. And then I can do online video analysis. I mean, I would say that even just an online video analysis, we could talk later too, but it's actually really surprising how much you even think you might be doing, then the video doesn't lie, right? Mm-hmm. The video does not lie. So seeing the video is very good. So I do online video analysis and I do train people online. So I do have some clients that are not local. A little harder to teach the technique, but usually what I would do is if somebody contacted me and they were in a city with a Qi running instructor, I think in person is always really the best way to learn it because you can have somebody look at you and give you feedback. And we're all over the world actually, so.
Yeah. And you said you also have a Facebook group. You said I know you've got a group called True Tribe and there's another group that but primarily for women.
Yes.
And so that's kind of been your focus.
Yeah.
So what's that is that a local or is that something that's wider?
Yeah, actually, funny, because before we got on this, I was like, oh, I need to go on my website and turn that back on and put it back on my menu, because right now it's not visible on my website. So I call it my True Tribe. So True being the running university, so it's the acronym of my business name, True Tribe, and they're my tribe. So it is a women only, and it's an online platform. So I would say similar to a Facebook group, but without all the Facebook bullshit. Excuse my French, I'm sorry. But so it's like I have a platform and I train people there online. I'm in there like every day. So, I'll post stuff in there, things that are either cheer running related. It's really, my tagline is I'm an interactive group of women learning, growing, and training together. Because, as it's not just about the running, right? When you're doing these long distances or whatever, just running teaches you skills that are applicable to your entire life, reaching goals, all of it. So I try, in this platform, I'm going to call it a platform, it's on Mighty Networks is the but that's where I have my group. So they're my members. So they're my True Tribe members. And I'm kind of going back and forth about whether I keep it an open membership or close it and open it once in a while. I'm not really sure because I don't want to say I'm picky, but all the women who, you say your vibe attracts your tribe. They're all very supportive women who support each other. They're, a lot of times when you get into groups of women, you can get this cattiness, there's competition, drama, and really everybody around in this group is just people who just want to be supportive and encourage each other. It doesn't matter, what your distance is, how slow you are, whatever. So right now it's not available on my website, but I do have on my website, I do have a download called 15 Steps for the Beginner Runner. So if there's any people out there that, are just starting out, but you could still contact me. My email is on there and I can still give you information if people were interested in that specifically.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me about she running, and it's one of those things I can talk about for a long time. It's just it has done so much for me, and probably we'll be talking with you. You're talking about video analysis. I'll probably be working. It's for me. It's something that I will, like you said, continue to work on. And it's something that it's the challenge of running is there, but I also appreciate the feeling of connectedness to your body that chi running gives you, as well as the endurance and also I'm finding out speed. So I'm working on speed this year. So,
And that's something that I'm working on myself too. I mean, I always say I'm not, but it is something I want to. And also, you do barefoot running too, though, right?
I just started this year, and in fact, I will say that the barefoot running probably revealed the flaws in my technique more than anything else, because.
And we say chi running is like running barefoot but with shoes on, and I don't run barefoot. I've done it a little bit on a track here and there, but I think I absolutely, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off
No,
there.
it's fine. It's fine. I was still landing on my heel a little bit, and the shoes masked that. And so once I took my shoes off, well, I went to Huarache sandals. So they're 4 millimeters thick rubber. And so that was kind of my start. Now I am working on getting my feet tougher, and I've got probably 30 miles total of true barefoot running on trails. So
Nice.
and so I'm working on that. But there's only a few trails, and there's broken glass on some of the where I run. So kind of have to be selective. But pavement for sure. I'm going to be probably barefoot running on pavement, just because. But there's the whole process of strengthening your feet.
Oh, yeah.
I had to cut my mileage way back. I couldn't go out and run, 10 miles at a time anymore. I had to just run 3 or 4 because I'd feel fine as long as I was running. I'd feel fine, and then at the end my feet would hurt because it's like you're strengthening those muscles. So
which is just, you know, again, and I just want to reiterate to me, this is like when I talk to people, like you're practicing running, right? Like that's exactly it. Like you're now like, let me go barefoot and see how that, and every second is different. Like, you know, you could just, so to running is just an, I don't want to say an outlet, and is a way to keep learning about yourself. It's a way to keep learning about our bodies. And, you know, so kudos. I think that's great. I love it.
And for the chi running, the barefoot and the minimalist sandals give me a whole ton of feedback. And so being able to feel where my feet are landing and to feel the contact with the ground. For me, it was just a natural next step for what chi running offers. And I wasn't sure. I mean, it was one of those things I did as an experiment, and I said, I was wearing Hoka Speed Goats for my trail run, and they have in my 100 miles my feet swelled and it bound up the top of my foot, and they were already a little snug anyway, but my feet swelled and I developed an injury on the top of my foot that was very painful, and ended up I was glad that I had practiced chi walking, because from about mile 55 to the end of the race, I could not run. If I ran, it hurt. But I have a pretty fast, walk. So I was able to.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. I mean, that's what I do. Like when I'm chi walking, I'm on a mission. You know.
Yeah.
Good for you. I love it.
But so that was kind of the thing that I'd been looking at barefoot running and researching it. But when I injured my foot, I was like, okay, I'm ditching the shoes. But it did reveal, I mean, the landing of my foot and being under my body and actually having the forefoot contact just a second before, the rest of the foot comes down. And, it's something I will continue.
I love it. So, and again, I always say, like, one of my favorite hashtags is always learning, always growing, right? It's kind of the same, like, that's exactly what we're saying with this chi running. Like, I've done barefoot on a track, and that's about all. Well, now you're kind of inspiring me. Like, maybe I should try this a little bit more, you know? But that's what it is. Like, what else can I do to get better at what I'm doing? It's like just this practice. I can't remember Kaizen. There's a word in I think it's Chinese. It's called Kaizen. But, you know, it's that idea of, you know, always practicing.
Always improving. Yeah.
Right. Always improving. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Now, you told me about a group called the Foot Collective. And I found some tools there that was very beneficial. They have a beam, a balance beam. So it's a pipe. It's about an inch and a half. And I had a piece of pipe I saw they sell it. I mean, they have one for sale. I was like,
sure,
man, I've got a piece of pipe in my garage. I'll just do that. And so, I have been working on that. And so what you talked about, the advantages of barefoot running, I think that for any runner, whether you wear, no matter what shoes you wear, work on strengthening your feet and keeping your hips loose. And, this whole thing of walking on a balance beam, it was amazing what it did for my feet. I mean, just to walk and your foot kind of has to kind of form over that ridge, and to balance you have to keep your hips loose. I'd recommend that for any runner, whether you go barefoot or not. It was wonderful. And, so that's
awesome.
I've become much more focused on taking care of my feet and keeping my hips loose. That's what I've learned from barefoot running. And I'd sell that to anybody, even if they're not going to do barefoot. Strengthen your feet, make your feet as strong as possible. And that has been such a big help for me.
That's awesome. And really, and that's the, you know, and that's a whole other philosophical thing that we can get in. I love the Foot Collective, but that's exactly it. Like, you know, they call shoes coffins, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about what shoes you're wearing all day, even a lot of running shoes, I mean, you know, you've got the heel lift, you've got the triangle front, you know, like our foot is not formed like a triangle, but the stability and all of these extra features that they have, you're not fixing the problem, Work, you know, I saw the balance beam. I still haven't invested one again. Now you're inspiring me, you know, over here, Eric. So, but it's true. Like, and I tell my people, original strength is another, you know, modality that I like to follow, because they do a lot of this movement that has to do with your joints all moving at the same time. But kind of that same thing, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it's just moving the body and learning about your body and how does it move properly, instead of using all these tools that are out there, like shoes and stuff, that are just going to, you know, I don't know. You're taking a lot of experience out of it, I think, mm-hmm. by not mm-hmm. adding some of these elements where you're learning about yourself. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. And the thing that I've noticed with walking on the balance beam, I'm aware of what where my feet are in relationship to the rest of my body. Because in order to balance, you have to do that. And so that practice of, and so when I get out on the trail, I'm, you know, running down hills and, you know, running over obstacles and stuff. I don't have that fear of catching falling. I mean, because I'm aware of like when I walk, when I've go through a bunch of rocks, I don't have a rock plate now. You know, I've got just a little strip of rubber on the bottom of my feet. And so I let my eyes scan and I look for the dirt, you know, so I'm not focusing on the rocks. I look for the dirt. And my feet just automatically land in those spots in between the rocks.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a whole mental body. Again, you said body awareness of being able to live in your body. The balance beam for me was a tool that has helped me become even more, especially of my feet, because I don't know about you, but I've caught my foot, caught my toe on rocks and ended up, you know, coming back a little bit bloody off the trail. And, I've since running barefoot, I've been more aware of that. It was just can feel where my feet are at. So, it's been a good discipline, but
yeah, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
So anyway, yeah, I that was my whole rant about barefoot, and it's strengthen your feet. That's the whole thing. Take a lacrosse ball, you know, roll it over your feet, loosen up the fascia. I had fairly flat feet before I started running barefoot. You know, I was like not much of an arch, and my arches are, you know, probably have gone up about 3/8 of an inch since running
barefoot.
That
is amazing. See, and that's exactly it, right? Like people will come to a class or whatever, and they're like, well, I need my orthotics because I have blah, blah, blah. Like almost if you follow the Foot Collective, just about every foot issue mm-hmm. is not genetic. It doesn't have anything to do. It's because you're not using your feet. There's like, what, 26 joints in your foot? Like people don't realize how much the foot is like any other body part, right? You would strength train and work out your biceps and your legs mm-hmm. and whatever. Like your feet should be worked just the same, if not even more often. We stand on our feet whenever we're standing, yeah. right? So yeah. it's one of the most important parts of our body that's probably the most overlooked from a strength perspective. So mm-hmm. I'm glad we're having this conversation. And
yeah,
the Foot Collective is great. If you I took the 8-hour workshop that, what's his name? I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was here in Phoenix.
Nick St. Louis.
Nick. And it was fantastic. Like it was such a great class. So, and I would take it again just because, you know, again, always learning.
Yeah.
always.
And so, yeah, they've got a lot of resources about that. And so, you know, if you're seeing this, you know, that's even if you don't want to go barefoot, I mean, that's, you know, strengthen your feet. And the other thing for me that since I started running barefoot, I'm about 1.5 minutes per mile faster than I was last year.
Nice.
Just because form and technique and, yep. and cadence, especially. So.
Yes. Yeah. We didn't even talk about cadence
no.
at all, but cadence.
yeah,
cadence
I know.
And, you know, we should do 100 miler together. We could just talk around.
You know? yeah. yeah, we could. But
yeah, but cadence is huge. A lot of people is probably the one biggest thing that people have no clue about. And cadence is one of the things that could have you be more efficient. You mm-hmm. know, one of the quickest things where you can get most efficient. So,
yeah. And that's the one thing I wasn't doing when, you know, having learned chi running on my own, I was a plodder and I was plodding. And so my feet were, you know, I was following the form, but I was taking much longer, you know, have much longer strides and, you know, contact with the ground for, you know, and so now I'm, you can't do that when you're barefoot. So again, that's what I say. That's what I say. The running barefoot has really fine tuned my chi running form.
That's awesome.
Some good benefits. So.
And I always say my thing with the cadence too is I tell people it really is a difference, exactly how you described it, of running across the ground versus running into the ground. Mm-hmm. Right. When you have a quicker cadence, you're going to run across and glide across the ground versus slamming into it and plodding along and having all your body weight. It's like quicksand. You're going into quicksand and like getting yourself out every time. So.
Yeah. And it's and I look at my cadence. And so the times when I'm running, my cadence has been since running barefoot above 180. Consistently. So when I stop and walk up the hills, I mean, it drops, but,
sure. Yeah.
But that's made a huge difference. So that's another thing, another part of chi running we didn't get to talk in depth about, but
there's so many things. I mean, again, we could be here for hours, talking, but good stuff though.
Thank you a lot, Lisa. I appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. Hope that you found it inspiring. Hope you found good information. And if you want to check out chi running, you can find links to that on online. Just do a search for chi running on Google or your favorite search engine. If you want to contact Lisa specifically, you can find her at therunninguniversity.com or on Instagram, the same therunninguniversity. Also, I'll have links to her on the podcast page of my website, which you can find at theultramarathonmindset.com under the podcast menu. And her episode will be there on the podcast page. If you like this show and want to stay in touch and want to stay notified when new episodes come out, I would invite you to subscribe through your favorite podcast application. And if you do like the show and would not mind taking the time to give us a rating and a review on wherever you listen to your podcast, that is helpful for us. Thanks again. I'll see you next time.